You don't know what it is to live until you're not afraid to die. So, this is Thought for Today. Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. One reporter of a near-death experience says, you don't know what it is to live until you're not afraid to die. How many of us are afraid to die? How many of us hang on to life as though it's the most wonderful, vital, important thing in the world to do? Well, perhaps most of us. We want to live. We want to live because it's all we seem to know. And so we're hanging on to life because it sounds like it'd be the most exciting thing that we could do. But if we stop and think about it, life is only one bus stop along the way. And we get out at this bus stop, and we have a great experience, and then we get back on the train again, and we get off at some other bus stop or train stop or wherever we're going. And we may take the tunnel from England to France or France to England. We may travel in America. We may take a flight. Who knows what we'll do? The mode of transportation is rather immaterial, although it is something that we should think about. How do we get from experience to experience, from dimension to dimension, things that we experience? How do we get from here to New York? How do we get from here to China, to Beijing, to Japan, to Tokyo? How do we get to Hong Kong? How do we get anywhere in the world? Down in Australia. Sydney is always a nice place to go, or down in New Zealand. How do we get around? Well, we get around by various means of transportation. And the means of transportation is simply said like a bus or a boat or a car or a plane, but we are really not taken by that means of transportation. We're not excited by it. It's merely a way of getting from one point to another. We are getting on the bus to go to shop in downtown. We are getting on the train to go to another city to visit grandma. We're getting on an airplane to travel down to Nigeria to visit our students and friends in Nigeria and Ghana or Guyana or wherever they may be in the world. And the mode of transportation is really not too terribly important, although it is convenient if we get on an airplane instead of a ship. Ship takes quite a while. But of course, if we take a ship, that means we have sort of a relaxed journey. We lay back and sit back and enjoy the ocean waves and take time for meditation and take time for introspection. And it's like a preparation for where we're going to go. We think about it more joyfully. Life is at a more slow, gentle pace than if we just jump onto the Concorde and are in Europe in no time flat. Well, that doesn't give you much time to think. You got to get your time zones set up. You have to get your bio clocks organized because you're there in no time at all. Well, this is what we do in some of our experiences. We get there in no time at all. And we haven't prepared ourselves for that new experience. Or we have prepared ourselves very well. It all depends on how we approach it. Now, if you come into life screaming and hollering and being very unhappy, maybe your journey was cut short. Maybe you were coming aboard too early, like a premature baby. Or maybe you didn't want to leave the other experience. It could have been that too, you know. You don't know what it is to live until you're not afraid to die. Each dimension that we express on is a dimension of livingness. It's a dimension of excitement and imagination and the thrill of doing things that we could never imagine doing. Because you in your fondest imagination, no matter what kind of a science fiction writer you may be, no matter what kind of fairy tales you may think, you cannot think about what your next dimension is going to be like, or in fact what your past dimension is going to be like. Now, is that always the case? Is that always the case that you don't know where you've been or where you're going? And it is always the case for people who are in a hurry. Now, people who have taken time to meditate, who've taken time to listen within, who've taken time to read their own inner Bible, it's all in your own inner Bible. If you take the time to read your manual inside of you, you begin to see the various adventures that you've had. Not 1, 2, 3, like I was 8 years old, 10 years old, 50 years old. It's that the feelings you got out of it, the emotions you got out of it. Because if you were truly able to relive the various dimensions of your experience in its slow motion bit, it would be quite boring. Of course, in the near-death experiences that people often have, and I've experienced myself, you get a flashback of your entire life. You see everything in living color that you have done throughout your lifetime, at least all the highlights. Maybe all the other parts too, but they go by so fast. But as with our life, we remember only the highlights. We don't remember the insignificant things. Although, you might call it insignificant, but remember when you first learned how to tell time? I mean, that's insignificant, but maybe it was a very special time. I know it was for me. And I know that there was nothing to mark it as special time. It's just that I had a cousin who was showing me how to tell time on a watch. And I thought to myself, isn't that nice of him, you know? And he did a good job. You see, I still know how to tell time. And it was wonderful. Why should I remember that? That was not something dramatic, something that was sort of catastrophic in my life. It was just a simple little event. But yet, those little events we do remember. Now, when we're not afraid to die, we're like getting ready to graduate from high school, or getting ready to graduate from college to go out in the world, or being fired from our first job that we were fired from, or being hired for a very important job. These are all very important parts of our life, and yet, if you really ask yourself to remember it, you don't remember it. Do you remember when you were first fired from a job, or when you were let go because there was no more work, the business went out of business or something? Which is always, you know, more satisfying to you because not your fault you got fired. Although it is your fault, because you created yourself working for a firm that was unstable. But you had good experiences there. It taught you things that prepared you for your next job. When we're not afraid to die, we can get the greatest gifts out of things. I know one man, he was fired, went home, told his wife he was fired. She says, "Oh, great. Now you got a chance to look at some other jobs. You're good. You'll be able to get a job anyplace. You should have no trouble." Not that you should have no trouble, but you will find it easy to find just the job you want, and even with a selection, because you're good. Now, that's one wife. Another wife will say, "Oh, what are we going to do with bills to pay and stuff like that? How will we ever get by?" As though you're never going to get another job again. And, you know, that's sort of a negative attitude that makes life very fearful. And you're afraid to die. You're afraid to let the past be past and move on into the future. But in our actual life experience, in our actual experience of our body and our mind and our soul as a triune together, as a unit, and then when it's separated and all that's left is the soul, the mind, as we like to call the brain, and the body are physical units, and we put them aside. And we put them aside purposefully. We didn't take care of them. We didn't feed them right. We didn't work them right. They had an article in a recent Bottom Line publication, and it said, research is being done on people over the age of 80. And that people over the age of 80, who even at that point are encouraged to begin doing exercises, begin doing a planned program of using their bodies, have lived considerably longer than they were projected to live because their bodies were alive. Their bodies were used. Their bodies were cared for. Now, if we start doing that even at our ages and start using our bodies in a very healthy, dynamic, enjoyable way, they live longer because they say, I like being in this body. It's a happy, healthy body. It's a body that has muscle tone to it. It has a body that can eat different things and enjoy them and doesn't need a lot of things and can enjoy that too. So, you see, when you care for your body, you're not afraid to die. But when you don't care for your body, when you think thoughts, oh, my body is sick, my body has this problem, my body has that, my mind, I'm just not as bright, I'm losing my mind, Alzheimer's disease, you know, just name all these silly things and claim them in your world. And then you experience them and you think to yourself, now, when did that happen? When did that happen? All you have to do is see some person with Alzheimer's disease, which is not really an outer disease, but it's an inner thing, and see how they are limited, and you say, oh my God, oh, that would be so terrible. That'd be so terrible not to remember my friends or my own wife or husband, and not to remember my children, and oh my goodness, that'd be so, and you see, you compound it and make it into such a horrendous thing that you create it in your life. You just create it in your life. And now, there's a lot of people, you say, like President Reagan, well, why would he create that in his life? Well, he's created that in his life a lot of times. A lot of times. People would say that he didn't remember. People would say he didn't do this and he didn't do that. And he did remember. He did know. But these little thoughts get into the back of your mind, and he was fighting it. He didn't want them to think that about him because he was the president. He should be on his toes. But he was in his 70s and doing just fine. And the thing is that got into his mind and that got into his thinking, and he didn't claim it, but he was thinking about it. And because he spent considerable time thinking about it, he manifested that for him. Now you say, well, when would he ever think of those things? Anytime he would think that he was not balanced, anytime he would think that he didn't remember. And to not remember is the most normal thing in the world. We all have moments when we remember things that, and then you know this definitely, as soon as somebody leaves that you were going to tell them something, it comes back to you exactly what you're going to say. You didn't forget it. It just was in a compartment you hadn't sorted out right. And you say, oh, I'm so stupid. Well, don't say that. Just say, for some reason, I didn't really want to tell them that. For some reason, I really didn't want to share that idea with them because it wouldn't be a benefit to them. And you see, then you would know that your inner self is guiding you and directing you to do things and not do things instead of saying, I'm so stupid. Well, your inner self is coming into play there and is encouraging you and directing you to do beneficial things. Now, this is wonderful. If we would just realize that the experiences we have, they come about in our life because we are living as a spiritual master. We are living as a spiritually aware person, maybe not as much as we'd like to be, but we're living as a spiritually aware person, and this is how our inner self reveals to our physical self how to handle things. And it makes quite a difference. Yeah. It makes quite a difference because then we're not afraid to die. We're not afraid to live. We're not afraid to do anything. We just go out there and be ourselves and have fun. And if we live to 20 years old, 50, 100, whatever it may be, 200, we just have fun. And we don't think about the death. We don't think about cessation. How many times do you think about your journey on the train or the car or the bus or the plane or the ship. You don't. You may say, I'm going, okay, you're going to take a cruise. You know what a cruise is? A cruise is a cruise. Now, where are you going on the cruise? Well, that really doesn't matter. You are going on the cruise for the cruise because you're going to have all those wonderful meals on the cruise. You're going to play all the games on the cruise. You're going to relax on the cruise. You're going to stop maybe at the Bahamas. You're going to stop maybe at the Caribbean island or what have you. You're going to stop in Alaska. But that's not important. It's the cruising. You're going to cruise through the straits up in Alaska and watch the glaciers and their calving off of the main ice glacier. And you're going to look at it and you're going to say, isn't that interesting? But you're not going to be thinking about where in Alaska are you going, and how long. You're only going to be overnight usually at a place. And so it's the journey. It's the journey there. And we have made, some people have made, out of their life a born and death experience. They have forgotten all about living in between. And they're so fearful of death that they are onto pills, they're onto all sorts of medical prescriptions and doctor's care and things like that. And why? Why? Because they think that's a great journey. Now, we would ask, why would a boy be born needing to be in a bubble? Needing to be in a safe, protected environment that he cannot handle the normal environment that other people handle. Well, and why would he be in it and have the money available to put him in there? Normally, they just let him die, I mean, to put a person in such an unstable situation, if the bubble were to break, I mean, he'd be dead. And what is he going to do in there? Well, he's not going to interact with people. He's going to live. He's going to be alive. He's going to do different things. He won't travel much. He won't do many other things. But why would he create himself having a life like that? Why do we create ourselves having a life with a crippled body, with a body that has a lack of immune systems in it, a body that has a lack of health and vitality to it? Some people just are always sickly. Well, this is our own creation. Now you say, that's not fair to say that about those people because they're nice people. Well, certainly they're nice people. A lot of nice people in this world do silly things. Nice people rob banks, really. Nice people hurt other people. And then they're nice to other people, but they hurt other people. And that's not nice. But it's not a matter of being a nice person or not a nice person. It's a matter of what causes do we want to put in motion for our life. Are we afraid to die, so therefore we're living in fear? Or are we delighted in dying? Are we delighted in living? Are we delighted in everything that we do? Think about those things. They're really quite exciting. It's quite exciting to realize that you don't know what it is to live until you're not afraid to die. Because I don't like this illustration, but I'm using it anyhow. When you're not afraid to jump out of an airplane with a bungee cord, then you're not afraid to die. But I think that's stretching it just a little bit. Just a little bit. But nonetheless, the people, you say, well, the people who dive out of an airplane with a bungee cord on are asking to die. Well, really, they're not so much asking to die as they're wanting to perhaps do all of the fantastic, vital things they can and live as fully as it's possible for them to live. You and I, being more mundane and simple in our ways of doing things, don't find that too attractive. And in the jungles, they dive off of treetops with vines holding onto them. And these vines sometimes snap and pluck, off goes their head. They break their neck. But, hey, what's so strange about that? We create war, and we try to create bigger and bigger bombs so we can kill more and more people. We try to create more and more terrible things. In fact, they're creating nanofabrics now, which are so minuscule that bullets can't penetrate them. And so they're going to make suits out of them for warriors so that they won't be penetrated by bullets. Well, now, whoopee, how wonderful that is. They're also going to take the same nanofabrics and give it to Levi's. Levi's already using them in their Docker pants, and they're going to make pants that never wear out. How about that? But they also got another one. They got another one. It's a little nanofabric that they put in the nanofiber, and the nanofabric takes all dirt and all moisture and everything and just rolls it off and never lets it penetrate to the fabric. And the fabric never gets dirty. So can you imagine a fabric that would never get dirty, never get smelly, never be bad? Wow, you know, pretty soon they will do marvelous things, I tell you. But this is just something that is in the process of being developed. And it was in the Bottom Line magazine there, and they had a lot of different things that they're creating and working with and doing. And those Japanese, they are taking Bucky balls. You know what Bucky balls are? They're these multi-sided ball. And they're manufacturing them in such tremendous numbers, and they're going to use them as an oil because they're very tiny and they never wear out and they never stick and they are, you know, very viscous, very fluid, and they're going to use that for that. They're going to use those buckyballs in batteries because they retain certain elements that are needed to be trained in the battery. They were naming all sorts of things that they were going to do with it. And also, not necessarily the buckyballs, but they're using these nano devices to get this. The nano device is being designed to go inside of a cell and cure the cell of whatever is bothering it and then come out again. Mm-hmm. And they've created another nano device which is in the process of being tested. And what it does, it is attracted to a cancer cell or a cancer glob of cells, and it doesn't go to any other cells. It just goes to those cells and cleans it up, taking the medicines or whatever it is directly to those cells. And there's no basic side effects for the body because of the terrible drugs that have to be taken, and it just works on those cells alone. Now, that's not being afraid to live. That's being creative and imaginative and letting... Where do these crazy ideas come from? They don't come from science. They don't come from pre-knowledge that we have. They come from pre-knowledge that we have within ourselves, but not something that has been practiced or done before in the scientific community. But what a wonderful way to learn to live and to not be afraid to die. And just to think of these things, like Bill Gates with all of his billions couldn't save his mother from dying because there was no cure for the illness that she had. Then he put a lot of his money into developing a cure, to developing research into that area. Well, it's after the fact. But nonetheless, that was very close to him. That was very impressive to him. Now, what if he had been bothered by AIDS, you know, someone in his family? He would have put a lot of money into that and perhaps solved that problem sooner. Or if, for instance, he had been bothered with something concerning childbirth or what have you, and he put some of his billions into that. You know, what miracles could have taken place? Well, we certainly don't wish any of that on Bill Gates or anybody else. But it just shows that where our interest is, there is our research and our money and our intelligence. And let's have somebody be very interested in researching. How do we get to know our inner divine self? And what is the roadmap to going there? And what kind of vehicle do we need to go there? How do we train the vehicle? And the vehicle, of course, is our mind. How do we go? What's the roadmap? The roadmap is to the within, but how do we go there? And how do we not be afraid to die in the process? Be rather delighted in living. Some interesting concepts and possibilities, but we live in a vital, dynamic world, and we really don't know how to live until we have given up that fear of dying. Because the fear of dying makes us act with reservations on virtually everything we do. We're afraid to give our very best in every area of our life, and we want to give our very best. You don't know what it is to live until you're not afraid to die. Think on these things. It's a wonderful possibility to put that thought in our mind and have that thought in our world and live most dramatically, beautifully, and perfectly. Yes. I love you, and have a lovely day thinking beautiful thoughts.
Thank you.